This week on the PhD Cast, it's all about sharing. We talk about the Outdoor Media Association's second book into the best outdoor from Australia and around the world. What makes a great poster and how important is innovation and creativity on the platform? Also, Unruly Media come in to talk about the art and science of social sharing. How important is reach compared to sharing and what exactly makes content shareable? This is the PhD Cast from PhD Australia. Hey, I'm Chris Stevenson. Joining me this week on the PhD Cast, I've got regulars Lauren Oldham.
Hey.
And Christian Svara.
Hello.
And Jess Young.
Hello.
And regular, becoming very much so, Alex Pacey.
Hello.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I love it. The welcome sound of my voice.
Yeah. Well, not even the right group for that. Welcome back to the party.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here. It's a sharing edition this week. Later on, we'll be talking about Unruly Media and the art and science of social sharing. But first up, sharing the best examples of outdoor. This week saw the OMA launch the second in their series of books celebrating the very best posters and out of home from Australia and around the world. To celebrate, they had an event launching the book with a panel discussion. Stu, Christian, you guys were there. What happened?
Well, it was a brilliant affair. Well done to the guys, Charmaine and the team there, because it was very understated, but informal, and very informative, actually. So they had a panel discussion of some creative geniuses, copywriter...
some creative geniuses.
Genii.
Brilliant genii in the present.
copywriter and a couple of marketing leads for Spotify and for Disney theatricals. So it was a really interesting debate to work on and understand kind of the process they went to work out which outdoor they were using and the practice and also the work that came out of it. So it was really interesting from a media perspective to go in there and understand a little bit about the creative process.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't know what you were thinking about the panel itself. I think the guys who were on the panel, they were amazing. And obviously they were marketers, so they took part in really successful outdoor campaigns. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But it was quite strange for me that on an event which is basically the celebration of outdoor in Australia, right? They had on the panel three campaigns that were brilliant in their own rights, but they were not innovative.
In
a media way.
And the three campaigns that were talked about, what were they?
So they were the Bond's Boobs campaign.
Yeah.
That was one of them. I love saying boobs on PhD.
Everyone does like saying
boobs.
And we can because it's real life marketing.
The other one was the Lion King coming to town. And then the third one was Spotify. The Spotify campaign, and basically apart from Spotify, which was more about what we always talk about, actually how you create behavior in media and not just have a creative execution on a media side, Spotify was the one ticking that box, but the rest of them
and that's because with the Spotify posters you were able to listen to music
it prompted you to listen to music. So for instance, they tapped into in which locations what are the most popular artists, and basically you could text the name of the artist and then you unlocked free music.
Cool.
So that was one, but the rest were for me more like a kind of a spots and dots
Lion King wasn't spots and dots, but it was a all pervasive don't move for any type because there's so much outdoor out there type of approach, and they talked about kind of targeting, and they talked about how they'd worked out propensities of people more likely to go to see the Lion King and upweighted those different areas. So that was
who did have higher propensities to go to the Lion King?
Who did have?
Yeah, there's many gays.
They didn't talk specifically about gay-centered strategies, but Pink Media obviously probably played a big role in this campaign. But what they talked about is using
and
different...
families.
Huh?
And families, too.
Gays can be family.
Here we go.
They talked about kind of how they dominated using different and unusual formats. So worked with the contractors to actually do things that hadn't been done before and turn kind of the wraps of toilet, for example, or total wheelbarrow, or taxis, which is the other contentious point that we discussed quite a lot.
Contentious about taxis.
Well, because because they did this whole thing around how awesome this taxi wraps were, that the first time they've done it. And it, I mean, it is oppressive in this market, so they don't usually do taxi wraps. So brilliant, and then they had to work with cab charge and get government legislation to come in. But in essence, it's still a taxi wrap, right?
Yeah.
And that, for me, just felt that it's not particularly innovative, and is it worth all that effort?
Just to declare an interest, my first media job was in the end of 2000, and one of the first things I did was book a taxi
wrap. You mean 1980? taxi wrap.
I'm not even going to edit
what
that.
What was
all
it?
I'm not even going to edit that all with silence out.
What was it?
Just keep it in.
What taxi wrap was it for?
I think it was for Go Airlines in those days.
Now you just act like you're interested.
I know, now it's like changing the subject. Taxi wraps, Alex.
Taxi wrap.
Where do you stand?
Well, I remember seeing them, so that's the big deal, considering the amount of stuff we
did.
See.
Did you go see Lion King?
My daughter did, with my mother, so a double win for me. For the Lion King.
It was a loss for you, because the Lion King was actually quite amazing. Mm.
I want to see
it. I have seen it.
I'll take you away to London.
It's
very
good.
But the point on the Lion King.
Sorry.
Is that the sheer money they must have spent to get that. So
true.
Is it suggesting that in outdoor you have to spend ridiculous amounts of money to get genuine traction? Because what they did creatively wasn't creative. They just basically put the big picture of the lion's face on it.
Yeah, I mean, outdoor is one of those media where you need critical mass, I think, right?
I mean, look, I'm going to talk across purposes, I think, with you guys. I think that I always get a little bit nervous when we talk about innovation and whether what they did was innovative or not. I think with outdoor, simplicity and iconism is massively important. And that Lion King thing, I just think if you mess with that image...
Yeah.
There's literally no point. All you have to do with that is put that somewhere big and sexy, right? So there are those campaigns.
I agree.
I think that good creative and outdoor trumps the need to push for interactivity or anything like that. I think you've got to use the medium for what it's best for. Not to say that street furniture isn't good for interaction, but I do think there's a danger that we as media people try to push interaction because we can. Not necessarily because it's the best thing to do for XYZ campaign. So, I think The Lion King was a great campaign because it was so memorable and they didn't have to do anything with it.
I think it comes down to roles for comms. So basically Lion King and also Booth did an awesome impacting job, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I think from the event's perspective, it was a trick missed that they didn't actually talk about something or have someone on the panel that was doing something different,
right,
and talking about outdoor in the whole framework of communications, because everything that we saw there was like happening more like in silos, and it was all about outdoor as the main media, what is actually driving communications, and there was no talk, no discussion, and just subtle mentions of how you actually integrate mobile and the fact that it's overegged that you don't really need to create interaction, which is a fair point. I just thought that it was quite strange to talk again about outdoor as something like completely siloed as opposed to being a part of a bigger communications architecture.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably as a function of the fact that it was the Outdoor Media Association's gig, but I completely take the point. I mean, I think it's really interesting if we sort of move on to talk about the book and what's in it, that up until Stuart started flicking through his, that both the books on the table were open on the same page, and that was the Corona ad. With the moon going through the bottom. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, if you want to talk about interaction, like you could argue that's
to your point around it, creative trumps. I completely buy that, but creative doesn't have to be a push message. So can be.
I don't think it does, but I do think that in a lot of the examples of outdoor, you've got to really consider the amount of time that people have with your message.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get really frustrated, particularly, and we're getting into, I guess, the minutiae a bit too much now, but the use generally
never
stops furniture.
Us.
No.
This was one, the Corona campaign was only one location in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the BA ad, similarly.
Yeah.
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 Like, you cannot, I totally buy creativity, but creativity doesn't stop in a panel or doesn't stop in a message.
No, not at all.
Behaviour will always trump that.
Yeah.
So doing something that like the VA ad or like the Corona ad that demonstrates the behaviour.
The rainy bowls for Coca-Cola and South
or
in
the McDonald's time for choosing different types of food thing. Yeah. Like that for me is where outdoor really does.
And there is this incredibly fertile creative space where digital and physical meet, and an outdoor it can be an amazing canvas for that. I mean, you mentioned VA Look Up. I think that is one of my favourite posters ever, let alone in the last 18 months. Just a phenomenal, amazing use of outdoor in a really clear, simple, beautiful, elegant way, but powered by technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the two emotions that I felt when I went through that book was inspiration and frustration, just because of what we're capable of in Australia versus what they're doing in the rest of the world. I find incredibly frustrating, considering the consumption of outdoor in this country, and what shout at the media providers now, what they're able to do and what the governments will allow is just incredibly restrictive. So I think that's why we have to work closely with those creative agencies to make that happen. But I do think that when I go through that, and I wrote down a list of the ones that I found most inspiring, and there wasn't a single Australian example in there, quite honestly. And I would say, just because it's a pet peeve of mine, can creative agencies stop trying to produce bus creative that makes it look like there's people inside the bus with the door in the screen? It just doesn't work and it just looks ridiculous. Page 72, for anyone's interested, is another example. Drives me absolutely bonkers. But yeah, I've long felt incredibly frustrated about what we're able to do, and I would draw a real parallel between that and what happens in supermarkets in Australia, in terms of there's no push for them to do anything different or provide a range of products because they've got essentially a monopoly. And it's a similar situation with the outdoor in this country. They need to kick up the backside.
But it's just that there's so little of it. It's naturally in high demand, and therefore there's no
effort.
It's harsh to say there's no effort, but I certainly think there's less of an incentive to really lean into finding those bigger, more impactful sites, and then pushing for the most creative use of them.
Yeah, I agree.
So, from sharing in outdoor to sharing in the digital space and social, and this week the good people of Unruly Media came in to talk to us about the art and science of social sharing. What did they have to say?
So basically we were taken through a whole bunch of Ehrenberg Bass research into the science of sharing. I know you and Stu will love that.
All of us. If you're a PhD, then you are automatically part of the what do you call the cult of Ehrenberg Bass?
Well, a cult is what it is.
Yeah. So basically they took us through the different motivations to sharing, and also Basically, the reasons why people are sharing amazing content. Some of them were shared passion, reaction seeking, self-expression, social utility, opinion seeking, etc. So there's different reasons why people would share a certain piece of content, and when you're creating content, you need to think about those things.
And I think the interesting point that they raised right from the beginning is, and obviously a big part of the business model, is that the fact that how obsessed we all are with, for instance, views on YouTube, let's say, and the fact that their biggest KPI and the metric that they're aiming for is not views but actual shares, and they were doing a bit of myth busting around what we were thinking were the most shared videos on YouTube, for instance, and also what are. What, for instance, from a content perspective, what do you need to put in a video, for instance, to get shared?
So specifically, they were saying that for marketing or for communications, sharing is a better metric than just purely views. Yes.
They said it. I'd argue with that, because obviously, again, comes back to what your objective is and what rules for com you're operating in, because that will release rules. Yes, exactly. But at the same time, it was quite interesting that from an organic perspective, they're absolutely right, that from organic perspective, sharing is a really important metric. And just whenever we are talking like viral media, then basically it's not really viral, because we all know how much money needs to be put behind a video in order to be shared and liked and viewed.
And what are the main factors that will make something more shareable?
Make it viral.
One of the things I spoke about was eliciting an emotional reaction.
Sorry.
No, you totally threw me off. One of the things they spoke about was content that elicits an emotional reaction, and then there should be three different peaks of three different emotions that you bring out through a piece of content. So they spoke specifically. They specifically spoke about the
misery,
frustration,
and
relief. Then you'll find it out.
Sorry, anyway.
So they specifically spoke about Dove beauty sketches. So when people, I'm sure most people have seen that. When you first start watching that, it starts with sadness, and then can you help me out here?
Yeah, it starts with warmth.
Warmth.
So yeah, it starts off with warmth. And then sadness, and then a joyful payoff, I think, when you realise...
It is like a date, then.
I really hope you're editing that out, so I feel... I want to say how uncomfortable I am right now. These men are semi-naked talking about this. It's not right. I mean, I thought that it was... I don't think we're doing it justice quite yet. I think it was really, really informative, the way that they've approached the science... to the sharing and the virality. I mean, they did, as KZ said, bust a lot of myths around viral. I mean, just the term viral itself, which the definition being that one person can infect many, is absolute rubbish, because that's not how something becomes viral. It's a multitude of people sharing. They are now working with Erin Bogast and Harvard to make the science behind how this works.
And we should say it's our PhD, so Unruly Media are now a global partner of PhD, and they're working with us on the source system in terms of how we get more accurate reach and figures in there as well. So great to have them on board globally in that platform as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think they opened a lot of eyes. I think, you know, in the jobs that we do and how busy we are kind of... There's danger that we go to the easiest option, and in terms of... video, that happens to be YouTube, right? But YouTube's, I think they said 31% of all the videos online.
Wow.
And they're interested in the other...
Videos of views.
Videos.
I think videos, yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's still the biggest, though?
It's the biggest single area. But what they essentially do, as a company, is you go to them and you say, here's my video.
Yeah.
I want it to be shared. And they put together... a model. They have a model... they showed us where they can look at your piece of content and they can predict with 80% accuracy how much shares it will get. I asked them if they put their revenue at risk. They didn't. I didn't seem keen to do that.
Were they 60% keen to do that?
Yeah, the keenness dropped. But you know, I found that incredibly interesting. And I thought, as a tool for us to go to clients and bust some myths, it was really, really useful.
Yeah, and also I think it plays the point of how counterproductive is just the brief of do something for me that will go viral is, and the fact that they're now, because of that, there is such a long tail of not so good content.
Why is that? So you feel that's bad?
Because what they said as well, that apparently there is like... in terms of content share, for instance, in branded content, there is a 56% decrease. And it's because of that, because of the long tail of the content, actually, that there's so much content out there and the quality, on average, is getting worse. So it means that there are actually less content.
But as a client, why would I not want to have that as a KPI?
Well, I mean, what Casey's actually saying is the ignorance around saying... I want us to go viral without an understanding of
what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit like saying I want awareness without an understanding of role of comms.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you'll get awareness, but what are you looking to achieve with that awareness?
And then there was one really good quote, and I think it was from Karen from Airbnb Base Institute, and it was about content is a highly emotional queen, but distribution is king. And I think that's the thing that we always like strive to also have in mind.
Absolutely.
And emotional queen.
And actually, interesting, I remember reading a report that it's positive emotion tends to be better.
So positive emotion tends to actually 30% increase in sharing, and also strong emotional content, for instance, like doubles shareability and things like what they were mentioning. Also from a content perspective, that was quite interesting, is that everybody is thinking like, yeah, if you put a baby and two puppies in a piece of content, that's gonna go amazingly well. It's actually not true, and it's more about people and showcasing personal triumph and human stories that are actually the most interesting ones, the most shared ones.
And do we think that's true per se, or do we think that's just true right now in, you know, challenging global times, negative stories? Do we think it's just right now there's a need for stories that are more uplifting, or do you think it's more of a human truth that will always be true?
I think it's more a human truth, but what was quite interesting though is that what they said as well, it's based, so different markets are open to, like, different emotions are driving different market shares, basically. So whilst in many of the markets, for instance, happiness is an obvious emotion, that's like one of the first motivations why people are actually sharing it, because it has emotional content. But for instance, in Brazil, I think it was like acceleration or excitement or something like that. So it was quite interesting that based on different markets with different cultural behaviors or different cultural backgrounds, it actually makes.
Gotta love Brazil. Excitable bunch. And then bigger than sauce. And that's what we've got time for this week. A big thank you to everybody joining us. Alex.
Thank you.
And Jess.
Thanks.
And Casey.
Thank you. And Tini, my sister, who's writing her diploma work about this, like, you should listen to this and share it, and like, seriously, take everything.
Well, we know about shareability.
Shareability. There's no such thing as mine, I've told you already.
But there is emotion.
There is.
And that's probably the. Thanks, Lauren.
Bye.
And Stu.
Thank you.
And have a good weekend, everyone.
Sorry, guys, for the video call.
Can you imagine?
We totally should have a video call.
No, next time. That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.